Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Masich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram at hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos One. So tonight I welcome back Siobhan Rowe to go through a lot of the draft prospects that are coming up. I wanted to get her expert opinion. She obviously follows the draft very closely. We obviously talked a little bit and got her thoughts on the trade period so far. She seems very happy, which is good to hear. There was a lot to go through. Let's not waste any more of your valuable time and bring on Siobhan right now.
Siobhan Rowe, welcome back. A lot to go through, so let's not waste any more time. Now, it's been a couple of quiet days, but Wednesday was a crazy day, Siobhan. I mean, we had deals left, right and centre, and we are making this trade period interesting, to say the least. We'll start with the players that have come in. Dylan Stevens, what can you tell us about him?
Hi, Dean. Great to be on again and have a chat with you, especially during such an exciting period for the footy club. Wasn't Wednesday absolutely crazy? It was felt like Brady Rawlings. I will say, for the first time in his time in the Roos colours as the list boss, he seemed to just smoke everything that came his way. It was quite a joyous day for the club in regards to the current draft hand that we have, and also bringing in two young, talented players that will no doubt be best 22 and great acquisitions for our club. So you mentioned Dylan Stevens. He is now a Roo, and it was actually quite a good deal for us in the end. We gave off that current pick 19 that was from the assistance from the AFL, and we brought in Dylan Stevens and pick number 44. So it was a great deal in the end, and he's a player that will probably play on one wing and we'll have Bailey Scott on the other. He was a top five pick in the 2019 draft. Stevens has played 43 games for the Swans, but was really positive player for them in their AFL grand final run in 2022, and just couldn't quite break into that Sydney side. But there's no doubt that they've got a lot more depth than us. So I do think he'll play in round one and provide a great impact. He's very athletic, quite smart, has very good footy now, and looks like he's got a great ability to run as well. So that will certainly help us and give us another look to that wing that probably has been left vacant for a little while. So you'll have Bailey Scott and then Dylan Stevens, or something for us to be quite excited about.
Yeah, it sounds promising. And like you said, a top five pick in the 2019 draft. So the talent's obviously there. I suppose it's just getting that opportunity and consistency through each week. Zach Fisher.
Yeah, it looks like that we rated him really highly in his draft year. And so the club obviously pounced on the opportunity. And especially because we didn't have to give up too much for him. So we got Stevens and that pick 25. And we gave up that first of round selection that we got from the AFL, but I think was best to trade that out. So we actually did really well out of that deal too.
Yeah. No, I think we did okay. Yeah, definitely. Zach Fisher, we've seen his highlights package and they look pretty good, but I guess consistency has been a problem for him over the course of his career so far.
That's very true. Again, a deal that I think both clubs will be really happy with. Obviously, we received Zach Fisher and pick number 17 and then parted with pick 21 that was from the AFL and pick 25. So it seems like the Blues were very happy with what they got out of that with their two picks, which will also help them with their father-son prospects in the Camporelli brothers next year. And we, once again, get another first-round draft pick to add to one of the five that we do have. Fisher's an interesting one. It'll be really interesting to see what Clarko does with him in the side. By the sounds of it, he will be playing a half back position, but he can go forward. We've seen him play quite a few games for the Blues where he kicked 53 goals from his 107 that he played. So obviously has the ability to play as a small forward and be quite crafty there. He's also able to play in the midfield as well. So he's a player that's extremely versatile. He's got speed. He's got that lethal left foot. And I think we can probably conclude from the two players we brought in that Clarko likes his left footers, both of them being left footers. But it does look like Fisher will play that half-back role, which is really exciting because I think he'll provide us a bit of run and drive and dare out of there, which we've been lacking quite a bit in the last few years. So he's a versatile player we'll have through there and was a best 22 player at the Blues until obviously they made that preliminary final. So they're another side that for us will be best 22, but not so much sort of squeezed out of their previous club. But it'll be interesting to see how we use Fisher. I have a feeling he'll play further up the ground at some points because we are also sort of lacking that small forward. But yeah, his versatility obviously is very appealing for us.
No, it certainly sounds promising. I mean, his last 4 weeks in the senior team before finals where he got dropped, he was averaging like 26 possessions a game playing a half-back role. So, and he did talk, he did do an interview on a Gettable podcast with Cal Toomey that he pretty much said he's spoken to Clarkson that he would like to, keep playing in the back half and develop his game there. So, yeah, look, which of those two excites you the most, I guess? Or neither.
Yeah, no, I think both do. There's something about Dylan Stevens that's really alluring. I think it's because he hasn't had a lot of opportunity at Sydney and he has had really special moments. And I truly believe that players don't go in the top five of a draft unless they do have something about them. I mean, I could be proven wrong, but I just think being able to see what Clarkson can bring out of him is quite exciting because he does have great ball use and he is a fast player. And I think both of those things that any side can use. And what's interesting about both these boys are they're both known for their great sort of pace and disposal. So I feel like we're going to be playing more of an attacking brand of footy, which is exciting to see. But in terms of what they can both bring, just because of Stevens, as I haven't seen as much of him, I probably am more curious about what he can bring. But Fisher as well is a really exciting prospect. So don't think I'm not excited to see him run out in the blue and white as well. And I think he's already developed some friendships with the players, which helps. He's a lifelong friend of Griffin Logue's. So that's also exciting that he can probably come in and already have some synergy going on. And it'll be interesting to see how they're both sort of deployed around one next year if they're lucky enough to be in the side.
Yeah, I mean, outside of left footers, yeah, like you said, we're trying to get a lot quicker. I'm not too sure if you're still overseas when we played the Gold Coast game. I think you were living a life in Europe, but we certainly played a fast brand of football in that game where we tried to counter-attack. And I think these two players are the reason they came in because we want to continue that sort of brand of football and play fast and, you know, quick, you know, rebounding sort of from the back 50 with a bit of pace. Because, yeah, I mean, you would have seen probably Europe watched it a little bit that we're playing very stagnant for a lot of the period, a lot of the year, I should say, weren't we?
We were. And that's why I'm looking forward to seeing two players that have good disposal and are fast and will excite all the fans. Because the quicker we play, it seems the better the outcome for us. And don't forget, we have an all-Australian top five key forward in the competition in Nick Larkey. And if we can deliver the ball to him with pace and with a bit of accuracy, it'll work wonders. And it did in that game against the Gold Coast as well. So the more we can move the ball, I think the better it is to watch and the more exciting it is for the supporters, but it'll actually pay off with what we're doing going forward. So both these players do bring experience from other clubs as well, which will help a lot. So, yeah, really exciting additions to the club.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think they're going to be, you know, top-line game changers or anything like that, but they'll definitely play a role. And, you know, and they just look for better opportunities, which will be good. Now, we also made a deal for pick 18 with Gold Coast as well for our future assistance pick next year, which will be around 20, end of first round next year. Now, it seems we are stockpiling picks this year. We now have Siobhan 2, 3, 15, 17, 18. It's looking pretty good right now, isn't it?
It's quite incredible. 5 first-round draft picks in this year's draft. And in a draft that seems to be a bit of a shallow draft, having the top-end picks really helps. So that'll be if we decide to continue on our merry way with those 5 picks. There's still a week left in this trade period. So we could see us moving further up the draft order by trading out maybe 15, 17 and 18 or 17 and 18 for a high pick. But certainly having the ability to take 5 quality players in the top end of the draft will be really, really beneficial in a draft where I think there will only be 40 to 50 players selected. So I've never seen 25% of the first round of a draft go to one team. So it's incredibly exciting. And it also gives us flexibility to trade up to that number one pick if that's what the club do. But I think having that ability to stockpile those picks leaves us with greater opportunity for the next week as well.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I guess pick one is the big talking point, Siobhan and Harley Reid. You know, and have watched this kid outside of YouTube highlights. Is the hype for this kid worth it? And should we be putting together a package of picks, let's say 3 and 15 and a future first for him? Would that be a smart move, you think, or something like that?
It's pretty crazy because he's obviously a very, very good footballer. And from when he was 17, I think recruiters and clubs alike had him penciled in for the number one draft pick. And it's pretty special when you're a bottom age player and you're basically already touted as the number one pick. He does have an all-round game. He's explosive. He can go forward. He's a dominant mid. He's played against men. He's a very, very good footballer and the complete footballer if you've seen one. There is that. But there's also West Coast's asking price. There's a lot of factors to it. And it's not an easy answer. Personally, I wouldn't want to see us lose, let's say, pick 3, pick 15, pick 17, pick 18 for one player. So I think as a club where we're at the moment, one player isn't going to turn us around and make us much, much better. We know we've got a lot of quality midfielders as well. Having Harley Reid would help, but also if the asking price was too much, I would rather keep 2 and 3 together and then also those bottom sort of team picks to get a quarry of players through rather than just one. But there's no doubt that he's a very quality player. And if he is playing for West Coast next year, that he's going to be a sight to behold when he runs out onto a footy field. But for where we're at as a club at the moment, I think if the asking price is too much, we keep our picks.
Yeah, no, I guess that's fair enough. We've certainly complicated things with winning that last game against Gold Coast now, but it is what it is, I guess. I mean, should we be like, would you package, let's say, 15 and 18 to go to maybe 10 or 9 or something like that, try and get another pick in the top 10?
Absolutely, I would. I think this draft is incredibly compromised whatever way you look at it. There are 3 players that are tied to the Gold Coast Suns Academy that are all top 15, top 20 picks, some in the top 5 to top 10 that will be going to the Gold Coast. So it's also a draft that's not stacked with a lot of tools, but there are a few in that sort of range if we did decide to get another pick in the top 10. There's a player that I do really like. That's his name's Ollie Murphy, Sandringham Dragons prospect, who's a key defender. He's a key position player, can fly for marks. If we were to go down that path, because I do think 2 and 3 will be used to take midfielders. So if we were to hopefully get a key position player, he's predicted to go sort of top 15. Do we need all 5 players? Maybe not. So if we were to also take 3 in the top 10 rather and 1 at 15 rather than another 3 in the bottom part of the first round, that would also be a great idea. But North would have a draft board and they would have their players ranked at how highly they sort of rate them. And a lot of the time at the top end of the draft, you're looking at players that are the best in that group rather than a needs basis. So there's no doubt the club will have that draft board and they'll take a good look and sort of know where other clubs are selecting their picks. So if the players that they rate quite highly are at the level we are now with those 15, 17 and 18 picks, they'll probably keep those selections. But if there's a player that they're able to trade up for or know other clubs are interested in, I think they'll probably go down the quality over quantity path.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I suppose, yeah, it depends on asking price, doesn't it, really? Like you said, with the West Coast thing, if the asking price is too high, then you stick fat. But if you could certainly get it and get another pick in the top 10 and you can get a key position prospect, then you probably pull the trigger. Now, I heard Rawlings on the Gettable podcast today, and he got asked, "Ditto, who you would pick at pick 2 and 3?" He said yes straight away. It seems like they know who they will draft. I'm hearing Zane Dersma and Colby McKercher as the two players. Would you have them as 2 and 3, or would you have something slightly different to those two individuals?
Look, Dean, I'm not Brady Rawlings. I think McKercher you could probably lock in as at one of our top pick two or pick three. He's a really quality midfielder, and I think you can't go wrong with having a very, very good player that plays in the midfield. So he's clearly a top five talent. He's a gun, another left footer. So I do have a feeling that Clarkson will he's an absolute certainty. He's really damaging with the ball, so he's got a great kick and a really good disposal in the way that he disposes the ball. Can hit the scoreboard. He averaged 2 goals a game, 31 touches. He was great against the other sort of measuring stick, if you like, of players in that draft in the under-18 carnival. So he's got a lot going for him. He's a big boy, 182 centimetres and 76 kilos for a midfielder. So he looks the goods. And Dersma's a really interesting one. So he's more a forward than a midfielder. So he kicked 33 goals from 12 games playing in the Coates League, the NAB League. And he finished the season very strongly. He's more a midfielder, half forward. I think he played majority half forward. He's got a lot of skill, a lot of class, and a lot of polish. In saying that, is that a position that we really need to fill on the ground? I'd love your take on it as well, because he's certainly got a lot of good qualities about him. The brother of Xavier Dersma, who looks like he'll be a Bombers player at the end of this trade period. So I don't think you can ever have enough sort of silky quality players, but whether it's a position that we need to fill on the ground is another sort of question. What are your thoughts on the selection of Dersma if we do go down that path?
I was going to ask you that. Like, that was going to be my next question, because we seem to have 20 half forwards in our list. Should we be taking someone like Dersma, who is basically another half forward? I understand he's an elite talent. 33 goals in 12 games. It's nothing to be sneezed at. But I mean, I guess a question to you: should we be looking at needs-based players? Watson and Curtin seem to be sliding down now. Do you have any idea why they've slid down a little bit? Like, it seems like some people have even got Watson mocked at number 10 in the draft. Because it was only a couple of weeks ago that it seemed like they were the two players who were going to draft.
This sort of draft little period is quite crazy. You don't know what's going to happen until draft night. If I was North, I think I've been very strong on the fact that I'm very concerned about the way the back line looks with losing Mackay now. The fact that the back line will be led by Toby Pink and Aiden Corr is, for me, very concerning. And eventually we do need to start focusing on bringing in key position talent. Curtin's had a fantastic stretch of football as well. He did play in the Waffle Colts Grand Final in late September. He amassed 24 touches, 5 marks, 4 tackles, 5 rebound 50s. He was immense in a game where he played against men. So there's a certain allure about him that you can't sort of deny. But have clubs cooled on him because of the fact that he may have said he wants to stay in Perth? He's also a hybrid type, so can play key defence, can play forward. in the West Australian Championships. He was also a big-bodied mid. So there's, I really rate Daniel Curtin, and whether or not the club know more than me, I'm sure they would in terms of where his intentions sit coming from Western Australia. I'm not sure, but he's certainly a player that the club would have to be looking at. And in terms of Nick Watson, there were reports that the Bulldogs traded into the early part of the draft by acquiring Gold Coast pick to select Nick Watson because they see him as such a valuable asset to them as a small forward. And again, it's a strange one. Unless the Dogs have committed to taking him and they've traded in to select him early in the draft, he's another a player that would be perfect for us in regards to what he can bring. He's a small forward that hits the scoreboard, brings electricity. His nickname's the Wizard because of how much craft and smarts he has. He's more that pure small forward, where Dersma's more that midfielder forward that can come up and kick that clutch goal or has that class and polish in the forward 50, but can play mid. But how many of those do we need on the list? That's the big question, where I think Curtin certainly feels a need. And in a draft so bereft of key position talent, he's the big one. And also Watson with his smarts. But like I said, McKersh's almost certainly a lock, I think, for us just as a quality mid. I do also think that if West Coast don't bid on Jed Walter, who's the sort of generational key forward, if you like, that's tied to the Gold Coast, we probably will. So there's a lot happening at the moment, and there's a lot of good talent in that top 10. And, I mean, Riley Sanders is a name that no one's really spoken about. Could the club pull a complete surprise and take Sanders as our sort of quality mid in that 2-3 range? He is sort of sliding down that top 10 order, but is linked to our Next Generation Academy, has expressed how much he wants to sort of play for the Roos, and his relationship with Harry Sheasel, does that come into it? It's an exciting time for our club, that's for sure. And we're not short on quality players to choose, that's for sure. It just depends which position and what path they want to go down with the Vic boys, with the Interstate boys. Yeah, it's a tough choice.
Yeah, I mean, I did see Daniel Curtin. He's sort of liking, funny Instagram posts. Well, not funny, like, funny, but things that relate to him sort of staying in Western Australia and Harley Reid sort of going to Victoria, stuff like that. So maybe, yeah, we're reading a little bit into that. I'm not too sure. Like you said, there are rumours that he has told people that he'd rather stay in Western Australia, but, yeah, we'll sort of see what happens there. And that's possibly a reason why he's sliding down a little bit. Yeah, Nick Watson.
It's certainly not based on talent. Also considering how well he played in that grand final, I think if he didn't give an indication of homesickness, if he did come to Victoria, he'd certainly be in our calculations, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think, Nick Watson, as far as I know, maybe because he's so small, maybe they think there's better quality out there that can play a multitude, multiple positions like McKersh. I could see McKersh could even play as a halfback flanker to start his AFL career.
Yes,
because he can give a bit of rebound. Whereas Nick Watson is just pretty much a small forward. So
versatility is quite key, isn't it? I think even with the selection of Fisher and Stevens, they both provide a bit of flexibility. So looks like the way of the future will be players that can play in multiple roles in a multitude of different positions on the ground.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the way the AFL has probably gone the last 5-10 years, and it's just going to continue to evolve like that. Toby Pink is someone we selected, a key defender from Glenelg, who the club have scouted this year. Was a big part of their premiership tilt this year, apparently. Looks like a decent intercept defender. I guess he's going to be a replacement for Ben McKay, or try to be a replacement for Ben McKay, Siobhan.
Oh, geez, Dean, you're a bit of a sweating over here with that information that you just said. I don't think that we can necessarily straight out replace Ben McKay, and I understand that he didn't have his best season last year, and at times made errors, but he'll be a loss. There's no doubt about that. When you look at the back line on paper, it is a little bit concerning. But looks like Toby Pink's a good replacement. 25, so mature age. Was a huge part of Glenelg's premiership side this year. So 194 centimetres. Looks like he can take a great intercept mark. He's not a stranger to us, actually. He was in the VFL team a few years ago before he went to Glenelg, and also was on the Swans rookie list. So he was initially drafted as a key forward and turned into a key back that hopefully will be quite solid for us in the defensive 50 and a little bit of height. And if he can play even remotely, I think he's certainly a walk-up start for round one. So him and Kellen Dawson hopefully form a nice partnership down in the back line and sob a few goals for us.
Yeah, I mean, it might be like a Sam Collins type, you know, someone just fighting in the state leagues that's doing pretty well and hopefully can make a good contribution to your football club. Look,
it looks like he really worked on his game, Dean. I think from the position he was in when he was at Sydney to our VFL side, looks like he's really progressed nicely. So 25 and has had a solid runs on the board. I think he's worth the risk. And like you mentioned to me off air, he's low risk. We're not giving anything up for him. So if it works, great. If it doesn't, so be it.
No, that's exactly right. And look, he was drafted when he went to when he was at the Swans and when he was going to come to our club before, I think this was when COVID hit. He was coming as a forward. So he's made the transition into the defence. And usually the best defenders, key defenders like the Darcy Moores and a number of others have usually started as a forward gone into the back line. So hopefully, we can find a bit of gold out of that. We're also rumoured to be in on Bigoa Nguyen from Richmond, a ruckman key defender as well. Has only played one game. I think he was a rookie draft in 2019. Do you know much about him?
Yeah, looks like the case will be we were looking to hopefully sign him as a delisted free agent, but with that, it will dilute the Ben Mackay compensation. Mm-hmm. So if we were to secure Bigoa from Richmond, it'll be through a trade or the preseason draft. So not sure kind of what he'll bring to the club. He's an athletic key back who can take a good intercept mark by the looks of it. He was playing for Richmond's VFL side in 2022 and reportedly was very consistent. So by the looks of it, he'll bring a bit of height. He's 197 centimetres and 90 kilos. Initially drafted as a ruckman. But by the looks of it, has made that transition to the back half. And I think at this point, we're probably just looking for anyone with height and with known ability to have played in the back half to hopefully come in and give us a chop out. So I think if we do secure Bigoa, which we look like we will, he'll hopefully develop as that key defender that we're so much looking forward to having.
Yeah. Yeah, just having a body that's over 192 centimetres, I suppose, it's a start. You're probably a fair chance to get a game at us, so if you got that. Jack Darling. Now, I firmly believe this would be a salary dump for him. Still got 2 years left in his contract. Would you consider him for a couple of years to help out Nick Larkey?
I think if we do secure Jack Darling from the West Coast Eagles, it's our strongest indication yet that Charlie Comben might be asked to play in the back line. That might just be a pure guess from me, but I do think that Jack Darling would be a good asset to have in the front half if Comben is playing in the back line, purely just because he's been around a long time, hasn't he, Jack Darling? I'm sure he would be able to fill a role and impart some wisdom, but I still would like to see our forward line combination be Larky, Coleman, Jones, Comben. But if he came at no cost and we had the salary to pay for his wage at West Coast, then I think for 1 or 2 years he'd be a handy addition to kick a few goals and teach our forwards what he knows. He's been around for a long time, so I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I would hope that if we had a fit and firing list of key forwards that they would probably play over a Jack Darling.
That's fair enough. But at the moment, it's probably just a lot. Options are very limited. we don't have many key forwards, like you said. I mean, it sounds like Charlie Comben will go. They might try him in the back half. Callum Collins-Jones, is he good enough to be a second forward? The jury's still out on that one. So, yeah, we'll see how that one plays out. Small forward is an area of weakness as well. and we haven't been linked to any in a trade period. Does that surprise you a little bit?
A little bit, Dean, but when you sort of look at the landscape, I mean, Lockie Schultz to Collingwood was a bit of a surprise, and I know he did insinuate that he wanted to come back to Victoria, but I think he's probably looking for a club in the Premiership. We know which just isn't us at the moment. The market for small forwards is pretty demanding, isn't it? But you look at what someone like a Bobby Hill can do on grand final day, where Collingwood sort of pick him up for not a lot, and then he comes out and performs on the biggest day of the year in the way that he does. I mean, it just shows that the way that AFL is being played and the way we're going, small forwards are very important to have. I mean, Colin would have that plethora of them in Ginnivan and Elliott and McCreary and those guys. So I think it's certainly an area we have to look at. But in terms of who's available on the market, I think quality smalls aren't necessarily readily available. You sort of have to draft and develop your own unless there's a player that comes up. There's obviously Tyler Brockman, but he's looking to get a trade back to Western Australia. So yeah, we weren't really in the frame for him.
No, we definitely weren't. There was rumours about Charlie Spargo maybe a few weeks ago, which would have been nice, but obviously that's really cooled down. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting, which makes it even more surprising that we've sort of gone away from Nick Watson as well. So, yeah, I don't know if we've definitely gone off him, but it definitely sounds like it. So, yeah. And like you said, it's a pretty important position. You look at the Collingwood Premiership team, they had some good ones there. Bobby Hill's North Smith medalist. So, yeah, it's becoming one of the most important positions on the ground. So I'm a bit surprised we haven't been linked to any. Any other names come to mind that you might think come in handy to the club? You know, like a Jack Gudston. I mean, not to say his name, but, you know, someone like that or anyone else?
It's disappointing, Dean, to see that the Nick Haynes potential salary dump sort of fell through. Looks like he will stay at GWS, and there were quite a few strong links to the club to him. I think he would have made a really big difference partnering with Core in the back line, just a mature body, a smart head that's obviously been there and done that, good intercept marker. I think he would have brought a lot to the club. So disappointing to see him sort of decide to stay at the Giants. But I think the current draft hand we have, we draft and we develop our own. I think the rest of the landscape is a bit closed off. I think in terms of player movement, we're probably going to cap it at Dylan Stevens and Zach Fisher. I saw Hunter Clark re-signed at the Saints. So obviously we called, or he decided to stay at St Kilda. And by looks of it as well, Nick Caulfield, who was a potential recruit from St Kilda as an athletic halfback, is joining the Bulldogs. So I think in terms of player movement, we're probably done there.
Yeah, I maybe, yeah, there might be one or two, like a Bigot and Nguyen. Yeah, it might be for a late draft pick and maybe one other, but that might be about it, I would have to think as well.
Dean, I was disappointed to see us miss out on Marby Olchol. I think he would have been a great asset, certainly a player that could have helped out Nick Larkey in the forward line. His talent is too good to be wasted in the VFL, so I think he would have been another tall option that could have assisted with a few goals. So that was quite disappointing, and I think has sort of flown under the radar, that one. So it would have been nice to see him in our colours.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a player that could, you know, make a transition into a back line too with his versatility and, athleticism. So, yeah, no, it's, it probably was a little bit disappointing. We tried for him a couple of years ago as well when he first went to Gold Coast. So, yeah, it just hasn't worked out with him, unfortunately. Taron Thomas, Siobhan. Now, he was quoted, Brady Rawlins, I should say, was quoted maybe a week ago that we are going to look to extend him. Where do you sit on with that one? Because I think that's a bit of a risk at this stage.
It was a really interesting quote, and I'm very happy we're having this discussion because clearly, now I'm it's as clear as day, he's oozing talent, and for him to place in the top 10 of the best and fairest after missing majority of the season is quite remarkable, and it speaks to the amount of talent that he has. But there were so many strange sort of rumors and innuendo going on during the year about unrest and wanting to leave the club this year, let alone when his contract finishes at the end of next year. So if the club have managed to secure a signature from Taran to sign on beyond next year around this time, before the next season, it would be a huge coup for the club. I wouldn't want to go into next year with the threat of him sort of leaving constantly sort of being in the headlines. I don't think that they're going to get his signature. I think he'll wait and see how we go next year in terms of wins and losses and the way we play, or he'll want to scope the market on getting a better deal for himself. I just doubt he'll sign now. But it'll be make it for an interesting 12 months, considering we know how good he is, but there are so many off-field
issues.
Things going on with him that you just have to wonder whether or not you'd want to wait as a club, let alone what his decision is with in regards to earning more money or seeing how we go or what he can attract from other clubs. I don't think that deal will get done, if it does at all, until sometime through next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's big risk, I mean, with his off-field things that he's done. So, I mean, you can't be confident that he's going to, you know, behave himself. I mean, as far as football talent goes, you know, there's no question, you know, you'd sign him up straight away. And it sort of seems to, like, similar with Degoe, it sort of seems to have blown past a little bit, all the things that he's sort of been accused of and, you know, he's been found guilty of as well. That sort of seemed to blow past as soon as, and it's funny, as soon as someone plays good football, people seem to forget very quickly what they've done off field. But I guess that's the nature of the business.
Very true.
Yeah. So
I've got no doubt. I was surprised to see the club, I'm not because of his football ability, but so keen to sign him up so quickly when there is still another 12 months and there's always that risk. If he did have that contract security, that there's more of a window for him to play up. But there's, I think there'll always be a little bit of a risk with Thomas in regards to his off-field attitude.
Look, the off-season is going to be interesting. Like, I mean, next 4 or 5 months while we're in the off-season, hopefully he can behave himself and not get himself into too much trouble because, you know, one more misdemeanor and he could be out of the AFL system or off our club, you know, so or off our list. So, yeah, very big risk. I'm sure there'll be clauses in his contract to protect the club just in case he, you know, does, you know, do something stupid, which is always a possibility with a young kid. Now, how have you taken the Ben McKay news and Todd Goldstein going to our biggest roles next season?
Seeing Todd Goldstein in that Essendon jumper was just pure torture.
Yeah.
It's been hard. I think it's also been really difficult because Goldstein is such a loved North Melbourne person. To see him end up at the Bombers is actually really difficult to take. I think any other club, I would have been smiling for him and been happy for obviously the fact that he's got another year in his career, but it's really hard to see him playing for the Bombers in those colours and speaking the way he did to them as well, sort of referring to them as we and hoping to, you know, get them back to the top and all of that was very hard to swallow. Ben McKay, not so much. I think that the pick three really was the sweetener in the tea, wasn't it? I think it was a bit easier to see him in the Bombers guernsey knowing what was coming back our way. But no doubt, I think we do lose a quality player there. I think even though he did have a difficult time getting on the park and also had his indifferent form throughout the years, he did at times provide a solid hand in the back half. So also difficult to see a player leave on his own fruition to the Bombers too. But I think the club was well compensated. I think the AFL's compensation system through free agency is another discussion, but we did pretty well out of that. So best of luck to both of them, but not against us, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a topic that would go for days on a podcast, the compensation picks and what you get for that. But, yeah, we won't get too much into that. We got things out of it, so we're not complaining at the moment. Now, we have three players out of contract still. Must be hard on those individuals. Do you think we keep Aiden Bonner, Kane Turner, or Jack Marnie? And which one, like, place in order of preference of, or not so much preference as priorities of who the club would prioritise as keeping out of those three?
Yeah, it's a difficult question. I think the fact that we've got two extra rookie list spots probably opens the door for one or two of those players. The fact that all of them are still out of contract is obviously not a great sign when we're currently in the trade period and the draft period as well in October. It's really hard. Bonner does play as a defender, and I think we're so short on those players that it's possible that he's the one that gets the contract. But your theory might be right in the fact that Turner sort of survives again. I think the hope for Jack Marnie is probably that the light's been snuffed out there. Unfortunately, had his career shortened by injuries and also a little bit of lack of sort of form when he did get a run in the seniors. So I fear that he might be cut. But I'd probably keep Bonner out of all three of them purely just because he has had experience playing on plays in the back half, and we're so short in that area of the ground that the fact he's got a bit of height and has had experience there probably lends himself to a one-year deal on the rookie list. And maybe we keep Turner around again just as a bit of security. But if only one survived, I'd probably say Bonner.
No, fair enough. I mean, I guess one of those, you know, Turner or Marnie could survive because we've got no other small forwards on the list at the moment. I think, yeah, we've got rid of Phoenix Spicer. We've got Blake Drury. I mean, I was going to say the Drury's still out on him, but the jury's still out on him. And I think we've got other ones. I can't even remember off the top of my head that didn't set the world on fire. So, yeah, it's it might be Kane Turner and Aiden Bonner, like you said. Jack Marnie probably be the one that, is probably going to struggle to keep his spot. And there's not one skill he has. I was talking to Jesse about this last night. There's not one skill he has where you sort of think, he's a leader. You know, doesn't kick, yes. Doesn't have a penetrating kick, not quick, doesn't kick goals as well. It could be tough going for him. And the fact that he looks 41 instead of 21 probably doesn't help either. So, it is what it is. Just to finish, Jack Zeeble has joined the Richmond coaching ranks in 2024. Good luck to him, and I hope he does well there. He might build off his experience then come back to the club one day, Siobhan.
Fingers crossed. I think Richmond certainly have a good one there, don't they? I think Jack's just a great club person. It's sad to see him go to the Tigers. I think he was working with the AFLW team for a little while there. So good luck to him. I think as an assistant coach as well under Adam Uze, he will thrive, and hopefully he can sort of master his trade and then come back to the Roos. But he'll be a great acquisition for them. He's just a great club person. And then also the news about Jordan Russell as well. So we'll lose Jordan Russell to the Blues. He'll go over there as their new forward line coach. He was at the Roos as a midfield coach for quite a number of years. So there's certainly a lot of movement in the coaching ranks for us, isn't there? We've shaken the place up, which is not a bad thing, Dean, is it?
No, definitely not. I think it's pretty much all our assistants besides Patch Adams gone from last season, unless I'm mistaken there.
No, John Blakey's gone. Yeah. Russell's gone. We've lost... Yeah, no, I think it's everyone. Yeah.
And Gavin Brown, Brent Harvey's gone to another role. Pretty much it's a whole new, assistance, I guess, and a new development coach as well, Michael Barlow. So, yeah, it's probably a sign of moving on, I guess.
It is, and it's super exciting because we've got quite a few players there as well that, players, quite a few coaches there that have been highly regarded at other clubs and bring a lot of experience with them, and I think they'll just flourish under Clarko. So certainly a new era in the coaching box as well, which is nothing but exciting.
Yeah, I mean, all those blokes they've got in, Xavier Clark, Jed Adcock, Michael Barlow, they're generally, most of those blokes will be in their 30s as far as age goes. So, yeah, plenty of upside, I guess, recently out of the game, so they understand the game a bit more, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how we go. I couldn't tell you anything much about them except for their playing career. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. Siobhan, want to add anything else before I let you go?
just that it's a very exciting time for our club, and a week till trade period ends, and there's still a lot to play out, isn't there? I think if we were to make a play for that number one pick, we've got the arsenal to do it, but it depends on how the club rate Harley Reid, and hopefully if they do really want to get him, we're not giving up the farm or selling the farm to get him. But it'll be an interesting time. It's quite exciting. I don't think we've ever had this strong a draft hand to take into November, so it's very exciting for us.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah, it's hopefully gets more exciting like Wednesday was over the next few days as well, and we can make one or two pretty good moves, and maybe even getting another pick in the top 10. That'll be that'll top it off, I think. Well, Siobhan, thank you very much for coming on tonight. Enjoy your weekend, and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon when this is all done.
Absolutely, Dean. Go Roos, fingers crossed.
So thank you very much to the lovely Siobhan Rowe for coming on once again on a Friday evening. Like I said, there was a lot to go through at the start, and we certainly did that going through a lot of the draft prospects that are coming through. And would she want to go up in the top 10? Which sounds like she would do it if she could package those picks in the middle, towards the end of the first round to go up to the top 10. So yeah, we'll certainly see how that plays out over the next few days. Anyways, that's it for tonight. Once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform use as well, that would be awesome. So I'll probably be back Monday, I would think, to talk about the women's game coming up on Sunday against Port Adelaide, 105 at Arden Street. Get down if you've got a couple spare hours. Get behind the girls. Another important game coming up. Hopefully you can get a good win and keep that percentage going and keep ourselves in the top two. Because we've got a couple of big weeks coming up after that. Obviously, Melbourne Football Club, we play next Saturday night, and the following week after that, we play Adelaide Crows. So anyways, that's it. I'll see you Monday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye for now, and go Roos.